One of my favorite topics. Wish I had more voice to preach on it. But I'll use what I got. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's pray. Lord, we are Your people, gathered in Your name, gathered around Your person. I ask You for freedom and ease to preach that only the Spirit of God can give. I pray that You'd take Your Word, You'd touch every heart and life that's here.
Amen.
I pray that You'd make us sound in doctrine, even the doctrine of praise. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd have Your way in every life. If there be a lost soul in the sound of our voice, may that soul be convicted, convinced of his need of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And come to Him and be saved. I pray for the children of God in this room, that every one of them would cease complaining and begin praising.
Amen.
I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Some of you didn't even know that verse was in the Bible. And to hear you talked on a day-by-day basis, you'd think you'd never heard it. Or that you didn't believe it. Or that you were rebellious and refused to practice it. I want you to know what that says. Let's just look at it a minute. What does that verse say? By Him, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. By Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. There are a lot of sacrifices that can be offered. In the Old Testament, there were bullocks, there were lambs, there were doves, there were all types of different sacrifices. There were sacrifices of the crops of the fields that could be offered, different sacrifices for different things. The tithe of money and of crops could be offered. And all of these things were a sacrifice that someone could give. David himself said at one time when he's sacrificing to the Lord, I will not give the Lord that which costs me nothing. Somebody said, let me give you this so you can give it to the Lord. He said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I'll buy it at a fair price. Then I'll give it to the Lord. Sacrifice is something that costs you.
Right.
A sacrifice, in fact, the very meaning of the word, all of our thinking about sacrifice, somebody's sacrificing to put their children through college. Right. Somebody's sacrificing in order to buy a home. Somebody's sacrificing some things to do something else down the line. You might sacrifice your time for years, going nights in order to get a college degree, in order to improve yourself, in order to better your family. You may work hard in order to give your children something you didn't have. My father finished high school, never went on any further, or the high school in his area, which was the 10th grade in his day. He never did go off to the big town to get to grade 11 or grade 12 or whatever that might have been. He didn't go to college. He wanted me to go to college. He didn't force me to go, but he wanted me to go, and he sacrificed to get me there. Even after I had a wife and two kids, my daddy helped me out and helped put me through school. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for some sacrifices. I've seen my mother do some sacrificing in times, and there are a lot of different sacrifices. Sometimes someone gives up their life for somebody else. They sacrifice their life in order to save somebody else. We read sometimes of heroic soldiers that a hand grenade would be thrown in the midst and one soldier would just dive on it with his body in order to save five or six others. They all were going to die. That one decided to die in their place. Sacrifice is something that costs you something. What kind of sacrifices do we offer in the New Testament? Well, there are quite a few different ones. We can offer money. Money is a sacrifice. We can offer time. Time is a sacrifice. Time is precious, and most of us value what time we have for whatever needs and wants that we have. We can offer that sacrifice of time. But here's a sacrifice that ought to be offered by every child of God every day of their life as long as they live, the sacrifice of praise. He called it a sacrifice. Sometimes it costs you to praise God. Now, it's not hard to sacrifice when the baby's born and the sacrifice of praise when the baby's born because it's healthy and strong and you're all happy. I mean, you just got a big raise on a good job and you got extra money coming in and say, oh, praise God, isn't it wonderful? Praise God. It's so wonderful. I mean, everybody's patting you on the back and things are going just right for you. You say, oh, praise God, isn't my life wonderful? I deserve it all. Hallelujah. Huh?
Amen.
That ain't hard to do.
Amen.
Sometimes, though, praise becomes a real sacrifice because everything's going wrong. Can you praise God then? Can you praise God when the washing machine's broke and the car's broke down and you don't have the money to fix either one? Can you say, hallelujah, praise God, wonderful day? Can you praise God when the kids are snotty-nosed and dirty diapers and running all around, hanging on to you one way or the other, and the husband comes in and says, why didn't supper fix? And you say, hallelujah, praise God, isn't it wonderful to know Jesus? What kind of salvation do you have? What kind of religion have you got?
Man, I got to work at this sorry place with all these lost people. Did you ever think that people put light in dark places? Maybe God wanted you to be a light to a bunch of lost people.
Amen.
And you got your lamp turned down and a bushel over the top of it.
Uh-oh.
Maybe God wants you to say, praise God.
Amen.
And somebody say, what are you talking about? What'd you say under your breath? I said, praise God. Amen. What are you singing? Well, I'm singing to Him. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, why are you doing that? Because I'm happy. How come you smiling all the time? You got as much trouble as everybody else. And then I'm saved going to heaven. Why shouldn't I fly?
Amen.
You can spend the rest of your life feeling sorry for yourself. You can spend the rest of your life complaining. You can spend the rest of your life begging and crying and trying to get somebody to sympathize with you and feel sorry for you. Or you can stand up and praise God and give Him glory.
Amen.
Wherever you might be. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. To God. That's where praise goes to. To God. How often should we do it? Continually. Continually. You know what that means? Look it up in the dictionary. Starts with a C and ends with a Y. You find it? Continually. You know what that means in the Greek? All the time.
Amen, brother.
All the time. You just keep on going.
Amen.
Praise to God continually. Oh, and I hear you saying, yes, yes, down in my heart, I'm continually praising the Lord. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, I walk in praise all the time. Nobody hears me because I'm a very quiet person, but I walk in praise all the time. Oh, yes, I give God thanks. Everything I have is the Lord's. Why should I give anything to the church? All I have is the Lord's anyway. Ooh, ooh. Ain't we having a time? Aren't you glad you showed up today?
Amen.
Amen. I ain't going to do it. So many times we don't do what the Bible says do. And yet, as Brother Brent pointed out here a while back, we expect the blessings. And Brother Steve, we expect the blessings. And yet we don't fulfill the conditions. You know what praise is? He says, that is, I knew you'd ask that question, the Holy Spirit said. That is, in other words, what is praise can God, to God? Can any praise is the fruit of our lips.
Amen.
Amen.
Giving thanks to His name.
Amen.
His
Amen.
Name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 What is praise? It's the fruit of our lips.
It's not that you got some nice little plaque on the wall somewhere. Or that down in your heart you feel sort of good towards Jesus.
Amen.
It's not that you're sort of religious on Sundays and you cross yourself before you watch Dallas. I mean,
it's that the fruit of your lips. You open your mouth and you say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you don't even know how to thank God for your food. You don't get up and thank God for your health. You know why God lets Christians get sick? So they can be thankful for health. So they can sympathize with others that are sick. I'm a very healthy person. Man, I've had 47 years of health. Praise God for it. And those few weeks or days or months of sickness are simply a reminder to teach me to praise God for the health I have most of the time and to have a little bit of sympathy on somebody who's sick all the time. What is praise? It's the fruit of your lips. I didn't write that. Did you know? But I can read it.
I got a college degree. In fact, I got a master's degree from college, and that allows me to read 8th grade English. Amen?
Amen.
It wouldn't hurt you to read 8th grade English. Amen?
Amen.
The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name.
That's a name.
It's called Jesus. The greatest name ever mentioned in the ears of man.
Amen.
It's the name that every knee in hell is going to bow to one day, and both knees of the devil himself, all his angels that fell, and every lost man that ever departed and went to hell, going to bow both knees and say, "Praise God, Jesus Christ is Lord."
Amen.
Maybe through clenched teeth and hate, but they're going to say, "Jesus Christ is Lord, the greatest name ever." Oh, my friend, you get saved in that name, and you pray in that name, and you work in that name, and you preach in that name, and you call in that name, and there's so many other things you do in the name of Jesus Christ. But you ought to be giving thanks to God, man.
Amen.
You ought to be giving thanks to God. Your mouth ought to be open. You know, I'm not the most romantic person in the world. I don't buy my wife flowers. I know the florist won't like me for this. I generally take her out to eat, though. She'd rather have that than flowers. It also costs. It also costs more than flowers. Amen. Sacrifices, brother. Sacrifices.
Now, she doesn't cook, and so if I want to eat, I got to take her out. Praise the Lord, anyhow. Amen. And we're having a time. Isn't it wonderful today? Praise the Lord. We get out about 3 o'clock.
Praise the Lord.
The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. I tell you what we ought to be. We ought to be a thanksgiving, praising people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so many blessings. And it ought to be a practical thing. You ought to say it. I love you sometimes.
Amen.
Some of you duds, you thought I meant to say dudes. No, I said duds.
You haven't told that wife you love her. I love you in 6 years.
I wouldn't wash your old dirty laundry.
I wouldn't clean your living room and pick up your socks and put your shoes up, you bum.
You ought to have enough sense to say I love you sometimes. And you know, sometimes when you're the maddest, I mean, you are mad, you ought to grit your teeth and say I love you.
Wouldn't hurt you 7 times a day to say I love you. I love you. I love you.
See, my marriage is on the rocks. Start telling each other I love you. It'll help.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ has done more for me than Berlin ever did. And I need to tell Him probably 7 times a day, I love you.
Amen.
Jesus, I'm discouraged about this, but I love you. Amen. Jesus, I didn't get everything I wanted in life, but I love you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I'm a miserable failure and a mess, but I love you.
Amen.
And Lord, I don't love you like I ought to, but I love you. We ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Some of you can't even thank Him for your food, much less anything else you got.
Just nice. You're driving good automobiles. You live in the greatest time of history in the world, in the richest country that's ever been, with more opportunity to be anything you ever wanted to be than any other people that have ever lived. And you walk around complaining like you got a hard deal.
Yeah.
God, help us to have thanksgiving on our lips to God continually, and it'll help you out.
That's right.
Amen. You start complaining, you ought to shut your mouth and say, don't do that.
Amen.
Shut up. Now say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And help you out.
Right.
You ought to slap your mouth. You ought to slap your face. You ought to wash your mouth out with soap about 3 times a day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, anybody that has their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, anybody whose sins have been forgiven, Anybody who's been dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, anyone given eternal life, anyone has heaven for his home, anyone knows he's got just but 70 odd years to spend in this old vale of tears and headed for glory, ought to spend every day thanking God.
Amen.
What kind of a miserable wretch are you anyway? Complaining and griping and crying like a little baby, feeling sorry for yourself because some little son jump up and run out of the house like a spoiled brat because you don't have your toy the way you want it when you want it.
Right.
A Christian ought to be filled with praise.
Amen.
Every breath that comes out of you ought to be filled with praise.
Amen.
You ought to be thanksgiving that permeates your life. You shouldn't be the village gripe. You ought to be the village praiser. When people see you, they ought to see a smile on your face and a spring in your step and joy in your heart. Because you're saved.
Amen.
You ought to run to glory. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I'm going.
Amen.
I'm going.
Amen.
Are you? Then what's the frown on your face? Why no smile? Why no praise? Why no thanksgiving? Why no sacrifice? Why no love? Why no giving? Why the complaining when you have to give a little bit? Why the complaining when you have to do a little bit for somebody? Why all this? It doesn't show a Christian attitude. It doesn't show thanksgiving for the eternal blessings of God. Not even counting all the physical, material, physical, financial blessings that you have in this life. Doesn't show it. You know that verse? Oh, that verse helped change my life. I'm thankful for that one verse in the Bible.
Amen.
That verse helped me. I'm generally an up person anyway. I don't stay down long. Oh, I get down. Oh, I have cried some crocodile tears in my day on a given day. As I told one young man one day, I said, I tell you what, I get up in the morning, I just determined I ain't going to be sad today. Let the world fall apart. I mean, let Gibraltar break up and drop into the sea. Let war break out. I'm going to be happy today.
Amen.
You know, I'm bound for heaven. I've got Jesus as my Lord. I've got many, many blessings to thank God for down here. I will live a happy life, a thanksgiving life, and a praising life. That verse right there says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. That is. What is the sacrifice of praise to God continually? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Is praise in the Bible? Can we find it? Anything we can learn about it? Go all the way back to 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 30. 1 Chronicles 23, 30. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, in a very ritualistic religion, not near the freedom of expression and worship that you and I can show today, the opportunity, he set public singers. He hired the best in the land. And he had them get up every morning, and he had them get up every night. And here's what it said in verse 30, 23:30. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, likewise at even. He had them get up in the morning and they begin to praise God. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. And they begin to sing. And the choirs of the singers would stand in Israel and lift praise to the God of heaven every morning. And when people walked by at the evening, the singers would stand out there. And there where people could hear them and people could see them and lift their hearts and point them towards heaven, He would tell them to sing and praise the Lord. Every morning, every evening. The wisest man on the earth set singers to sing and to praise the Lord. I would think if the wisest man that ever lived did that, it wouldn't hurt you to do that either.
Amen.
Every morning and every evening to sing and praise God.
Amen.
You say, well, you don't know how bad my life's been. No, but I know how good God is.
Amen.
You never walked in my shoes. No, but I tell you, Jesus has, and He's already given you grace and glory.
Amen.
Yeah, but you don't know how long it is. Yes, but I don't know how long eternity is.
Amen.
You say, but you don't know my thoughts. No, but I know God's thoughts.
Amen.
You know what I know? It'll change your life.
Amen.
It'll change your life. Some of you down because you don't open your mouth and praise God. Some of you whipped because you never learned to say thank you. You never learned to say, I love you. Some of your marriages are pretty sorry because you can't even just look across the table and say, I love you. I love you. and somebody's down. I knew a man that had a very hard time expressing himself, very wise, very intelligent, a strong, smart businessman. Went through a lot of pain, a lot of troubles and whatever. He had a wife that was really down. I told him, "You were having some problems." I said, "Why don't you just go put your arm around her and say, 'I love you'?" She knows that. I said, "Tell her. Don't say she knows that. Tell her." She did, and that wife just broke down, hugged on him. She just broke down and just watered his shoulder with tears. He said, "I needed that. I needed that." Some of you haven't learned to thank anybody, much less God. Haven't learned to thank God. Haven't learned to praise God. Solomon said, "I'm setting this up as a rule. I want my singers in the morning to praise God. I want my singers in the evening to praise God." I used to get out in the mornings and run. When I first began to praise God, I always thought I was a praising preacher and whatever, but then, you know, I didn't walk around saying, "Praise God, hallelujah, glory to Jesus," all the time. I do a lot of that, man. But, you know, I had to practice on it. And I used to jog and run about 2 miles out of San Pedro. I'd get up early in the morning, about 5:30, something like that, 6 o'clock, and I'd run out and I'd come back. I'd run for a while, walk for a while, run for a while, walk for a while, whatever. And you know what I learned to do? By myself, I had to practice. I'd say, "Praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." "Oh, it's wonderful." He said, "You're crazy." "Yeah, the dog's thought so." But you know what? It wasn't long. I'd be riding to school some morning, and I'd be in my little old car, whatever it might be, or big car. I generally like big cars to little cars. I'd be in that car and all the windows rolled up and the air conditioning going, and I'm singing, "Praise God! Hallelujah!" Somebody pull up behind me and I say, "Praise God!" They look over and say, "What in the world's the matter with that guy?" I'm just saved on the road to glory and practicing praise.
Amen.
My little girl played the piano pretty well. She goes, "Think, think, think, think." All those fingers work. You know, it actually sounds good. Makes good news. You know why? Because she does think, think, think every day.
Yeah.
Right. And it gets easy when you do it every day.
Uh-huh.
And some of you can't praise God because you've never done it enough to get
right.
You need to practice praising the Lord.
Amen.
You need to practice prayer. You need to practice preaching. We got some up in here to preach today. You'd preach about 5 minutes, stumble, stammer, cry, faint, fall down, we'd drag you out. You know how to know? That's what I did the first time I preached. I never will forget both my boys preaching. My oldest boy, he went to the radio station with me one day, and we were live, you know, right out there on the radio. And I said, "Now, son, do you need me to help you?" He said, "No, I got it, Daddy. I got it." "Now, he's preaching. I ain't preaching here and preaching there and preaching this pulpit, you know. No sweat, Daddy. I got a good message all set up, you know." So I sit in the radio booth and I introduce the thing and open that thing up to him. I said, "Okay, Eddie." And he says, pointing to that dead microphone. There ain't nothing going out. I mean, that boy can talk a blue streak. But he couldn't say one word in front of that microphone. I said, "Well, brother, turn to a certain chapter." I just turned to the chapter, opened it up, and started. Because I wasn't prepared. He was going to preach. He had it made, had a sermon prepared. I didn't have a sermon prepared. I mean, all of a sudden, he didn't have anything to say. Oh, he was embarrassed after that. You need to practice preaching. You need to practice witnessing. You need to practice playing football. You know, the guys that do the best job are the guys that practice. Get some experience. How about praise? Maybe those that learn how to praise are the people who practice praising. And I learned to do it in my car by myself. I learned to do it jogging on the sides of the streets. I learned to do it so that I could do it anywhere, anytime, any place. Sit out at the table and say, "Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus."
Praise the Lord.
I mean, flat out there with God, I'm not going to let the devil get the glory. Praise you!
Amen.
I remember one time, my heart was broken. I was mad at the devil as I could be because he'd shot down one of my favorite people and hurt them. And I was on a long road, traveling many, many miles. I'm talking about several thousand miles. As I was going, I began to think, what can I do to hurt the devil because I want to hurt him? If I could have taken my .357 and blown him away, I'd have done it. If I could have got him in front of me and killed him and wiped him out, I would have done it. I mean, if I could hurt him anyway, I would have hurt him. And as I thought of that precious loved one that was hurt, the devil got in him, knocked down a testimony. I was mad. And I was hurting over a period of days. I said, what can I do? I thought of Job. devil did everything he could to Job, and Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, you know what I can do? I can praise Jesus Christ in the midst of the most pain that I can possibly be in. I can praise Jesus Christ, and that'll hurt the devil worse than anything I know. You want to make the devil mad? Praise God. You want to make the devil mad after he comes and takes something from you that's precious? Make the devil mad. You want to come after the devil's hurt you with everything he knows how to hurt you with, after he's knocked you down, and you feel like cursing, you feel like crying, and you feel like quitting? Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. I may be a failure. My family may be a failure. My church may be a failure. My missionaries may be a failure. The whole world may be a failure. Jesus always wins. Amen. And I'm going to praise Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Offer the sacrifice of praise. Solomon says praise is so important. I want it sung every morning. I want it sung every night. Are you wise as Solomon? Turn, if you will, to Psalm 119, verse 164. My voice is going. Steve, get ready for next week. I'm serious. I go to James. That boy's going to discover another book in the Bible one of these days, but praise the Lord. Look at Psalms 119, 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Listen to David, the sweet singer of Israel.
Amen.
The king, the priest, the prophet. One of the most beautiful types in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares he's a man after God's own heart. What does he say? 7 times a day do I praise thee. Do you praise Him even once a week? Do you praise Him even once a month? Or is the only time you praise God when you open up a hymn book and it says, praise Him, praise Him?
Yeah.
That's the only time the words can come out of your mouth? Open up a hymn book, it says, praise Him. Read the book of the Psalms, it says, praise Him. That's the only time it comes out of your mouth. Oh, listen. Praise ought to go out of our lips 7 times a day. This sweet singer of Israel that wrote most of the book of the Psalms. You know what Psalms is? Praise. You know what God said about that wicked sinner? That he's a man most after God. Here's a man that has a heart like God. Oh yes, he committed 2 great terrible sins. Several others. You know what the world remembers about David? Most of them remember Bathsheba. They remember his adultery. Oh, they remember some of the things he did. Let me tell you what, my friend. What that man did most of his life, the devil got to him a couple of times. What he did most of his life was praise God.
Yes, right.
I mean, he's anointed king of Israel, but he's living in a cave with 400 outlaws. What to do? He praises God.
Right.
I mean, he has his enemy in his hands. He doesn't turn him in. He praises God. He writes hymns of praise and thanksgiving. And he said his practice was 7 times a day do I praise thee. Just like I told you, you ought to tell your wife you love her. You ought to tell your kids you love her. You ought to tell your husband you love it. Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get up in the morning and say, praise God.
Amen.
Lord, I praise you this day. I thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunities I got this day. I thank you for what I'm going to meet this day. God, I want to praise you. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And about noontime, you ought to praise God again. Afternoon, you ought to praise God again. When everything goes wrong and you're sitting by the car with the battery broke down and the whole bit and you ain't going to move nowhere, and you say, what do I do? You all say, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. He's above everything. 7 times a day do I praise Thee. Look at Psalm 119, page 10, verse 108. Here's David again. He says, accept, I beseech Thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord. You don't know how to give a free will offering. Some of your tithes are straight. You give $16.43. You can't even round it off to the next dollar.
Yeah.
Oh, ain't that bad? Ain't that bad? Come on, John, my bad. Preach on heaven, huh? I'm going to preach on praise.
Amen.
That's the occupation of heaven.
Amen.
Might as well get practiced up down here because that's what we're going to be doing up there.
Amen.
That's the occupation of heaven. Praise! He said, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth. From my own free will.
from my own heart, I can tell God I love Him. I can tell Him what I thank Him for. I can just lift up and glorify His name. And God will accept it as a sacrifice.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you will, back to Psalm 51, verse 15. Again, it's David. David's committed the sin of adultery and murder. He's killed his best friend and taken his best friend's wife. Oh, God broke him over it. Here's his prayer of repentance. It's a beautiful passage. You ought to read Psalm 51. Might help you.
Amen.
I just want to take verse 15. He says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Praise is a practical thing. It is words coming out of your lips that use your mouth and your tongue.
Yes.
You say, I praise God, but I never do it out loud. Then you don't praise God.
Amen.
You don't praise Him until you open your mouth.
Amen.
I'm not saying you're not thankful in your heart. I'm not saying you don't love in your heart. I'm talking about praise.
Right.
Starts with a P, ends with an E. You know what it is? It's glory! It's thanksgiving! It's something you use the lips, the tongue, the mouth, and it uses words!
Amen.
But if you don't say the words, you're not praising. He said, open my mouth! You ought to pray that prayer.
Amen.
Ought to be a prayer of your heart. Oh, Lord, open thou my lips. Lord, my lips are sealed. My lips are sealed because of embarrassment. My lips are sealed because of inexperience. My lips are sealed because of feeling sorry for myself. My lips are sealed for 1,000 reasons. Oh, Lord, open thou my lips that I can show forth your praise. Turn, if you will, Psalm 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 33:1. Oh, you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, we don't quite use this word in this way today. We say very attractive. Boy, that looks good on you. Somebody will come in with a new shirt or a pair of pants or a nice dress or a new hairdo. And someone will say, oh, that looks good on you. Well, that's just your color. My, that just fits your eye. Aren't you dressed beautifully today? You know how Christian dress is? Praise.
Amen.
What that Bible said? Did you hear what it said? Praise is coming for the upright.
Amen.
Praise is attractive to the upright. Praise just fits with the upright. The upright, the righteous, the saved. What fits with them?
Praise. Thanksgiving.
Joy. Oh, the name of Jesus. Praise. Look at 34, 1 through 3. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. Psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. When's He going to bless the Lord? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What did the Greek mean on that? Well, you don't know that's Hebrew, don't you? What did Hebrew mean right there? It means all the time. Taught you on that. See, if you'd get up on your languages, you'd have got that one. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
I don't know whether you like boxing or not. It doesn't make much difference. I don't know whether you like Muhammad Ali or not. It doesn't make much difference either. But the old boy would get up and say, I am the best. People hate his guts. And then they'd put the biggest, meanest, ugliest dude they got inside the town, and he'd beat him up. And he'd walk out, see my face, they can hit my face. See my face. You know, pretty much, I'm prettiest boxer in town. I'm the prettiest boxer.
Right.
See what he was doing? He was fighting.
Right.
He wasn't lying. That man hit hard, and the man danced like a middleweight. And he weighed 220 pounds. He was the best.
I don't know what he's done up against Joe Louis. And Joe Louis is prime. Nobody would ever know. Because Joe Louis didn't live the same time Muhammad Ali did.
You might have hated his guts because he was proud and because he cocky, whatever. But he didn't brag. He facted.
When he said, I'm going to beat him in such and such a round, and knock him out in that round. Hell, that's fact. I want you to know that's exactly what it was. He said the right thing. He did the right thing. You know what we ought to do? We ought to do a little boasting in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
Somebody says, what you doing? What you bragging on? Who do you think? I'm bragging on Jesus!
Amen.
Jesus is the greatest!
Amen.
Jesus is the best!
That's right.
Jesus never lost a battle.
Amen.
Jesus will never lose a soul.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the righteous one.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the holy one.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Ought to be your Lord too. How come you're happy today? Because Jesus is my Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, where are you working for? I work for Jesus.
Amen.
Old buddy Myron used to go through college, and he'd be walking along down through somebody and say, Hey, David, where are you going? He said, to heaven, where are you going? Huh? Hey, where are you going? I'd be heading to the library, the cafeteria, his car. I said, where are you going? Heaven, where are you going?
Amen.
Don't see Linda this morning. Linda Hampson. Walk in every once in a while. I say, how you doing, man? Blessed, brother. Blessed. How you doing? Blessed, brother. Blessed. I like that.
Amen.
I just really like that. How you doing? Oh, you don't know the troubles I was in. How you doing? Oh, brother, it's pitiful, I tell you. You got an hour or two? You know, I've counseled an awful lot of people, trouble their marriage and whatever. I've been preaching over 27 years. Talked to a lot of people. It's amazing some of the stupid things they ask me. Some of you will next week. My husband didn't thank me for the hospital. The marriage is gone. I mean, it's shot. They're never going to get back together. I mean, these are irreconcilable differences, I want you to know. I mean, they're absolutely incompatible. Why don't you grow up? Amen. And praise God that you've got a husband. There's some people looking for one. Did you know that? They might even be happy to have the one you got. Hey, you better take care of what you got. Amen. And some of you guys, you fuss and complain about your wife, you better be thankful you've got one. There might not be anybody else that wants you. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
How about a little bit of praise?
Amen.
How about Jesus Christ is Lord?
Amen.
How about thank you, Jesus?
Amen.
He is. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast. When I was talking to a man one day, I don't know who I was visiting with. I'd been Brent. We caught a man at a trailer house. Big, nice motorhome. Man, $40,000-$50,000 brand new motorhome. Tried to talk to him about Jesus. He said, nobody can know about that till they get to heaven. I said, oh no, I know. You can't know. I said, friend, I'm going to tell you right now. Words in my mouth. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm any good, not because I preach the gospel, not because I'm not talking to you, not because I give money to the church, not because I don't cuss, drink, smoke, wax, whatever. I'm saved because Jesus died for me.
Amen.
And I know it. And I ain't never going to be lost. And I ain't going to hell. I tell you, you can have the same thing. He said, you're just bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm boasting in Jesus.
Amen.
Let's make our boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Said the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, we'll lift somebody's spirits by a little bit of praise. We'll lift somebody up. We'll help them walk down the road with a little bit a lighter load. We'll walk up and meet somebody with a heavy load. And we praise God. We thank God. We teach them to praise God, to thank God. And the humble hears us bragging on Jesus. And the humble get glad.
Amen.
You ever notice how when some people walk in a room, everything sort of livens up? You ever notice when other people walk in, everything sort of tampers down? What are you? You ought to be a praiser. He said, oh, magnify. You know what that means? It means make big. You ever got a magnifying glass? Some of you a little bent. You know, take a magnifying glass. And say, this, what you do is you take your word and you magnify the love of God. You magnify the thanksgiving. You magnify the praise. You magnify the Lord. You brag on Him. You boast in Him. You rejoice in Him. You lift Him up. You make Him big before the world. The world sees a little Jesus hanging around people's neck all the time. What they need to see is the Lord of glory.
Amen. Amen.
All powerful, almighty, all knowing, all everything. The great I Am. Whatever you want, I Am. Whatever you need, I Am. The great I Am. Jesus!
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together.
Amen.
I want you to do it with me. Let's just say praise the Lord together.
Praise the Lord!
One more time!
Praise the Lord!
One more time!
Praise the Lord!
Didn't hurt you.
Amen.
Anybody got a broken mouth from that? Anybody got a strained tongue? Hey, I want you to know, let's magnify the Lord together to do you good.
Amen.
Turn, if you will, to Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4. Many times I've been down.
And just because I praise God and try to praise Him every day doesn't mean I don't have any troubles like you do. Doesn't mean the wife and I never have a fight. Doesn't mean my kids are never a pain. Doesn't mean my cars always run right. Doesn't mean my bills are always easily paid. Doesn't mean that I like my job any better than you like yours. But you know, I learned a long time ago, and I took someone just this last week, I said, read this psalm. I'm like a doctor. I give prescriptions. I want you to take Psalm 63, verse 3, 7 times a day for a week. Read it. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, amen, my lips shall praise thee.
Amen.
How can you praise God when everything's going wrong? Because His loving kindness is better than life.
Amen.
You thought life was the biggest thing. Oh, life. Let's enjoy life. What is it? Loving kindness.
Amen.
The loving kindness of God is better than life. Because my loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That's a commitment. Ought to be a commitment in your life. Ought to be a commitment in your marriage. Ought to be a commitment to your kids. Ought to be a commitment in your job. Ought to be a commitment every day that you live. The great loving kindness of God that saved a wretch like you. If I were in the saving business, I'd have passed you by.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Why God pick you, huh? You got something special about you that God needs in heaven? You the best fellow in the block? Are you the most righteous one in your family? Are you the one that God should have saved because you the best in the lot?
You're just sorry old clay, just like all the other clay. Sorry, clay.
You're just sorry old clay. Common dirt of the field. And God chose you to make a jewel.
Amen.
Not because you had anything in you, but because of His loving kindness.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Some things worth more than life.
Amen.
And the salvation of God, the blessings of God, are worth more than life.
Amen.
They're worth more than your sin. They're worth more than your pride. They're worth more than your job. They're worth more than your bank account. They're worth more than your success. In fact, God may take every one of those things away from you in order to give you loving kindness. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I lift up my hands in thy name. Won't you lift up your hands?
Amen.
Uh-oh, we're going Pentecostal, didn't we? Uh-oh. We just went Pentecostal. You know what? That's Bible.
Amen.
Talking to somebody someday, and they said, I told them I believe in eternal security. They said, that's Baptist doctrine. I said, that's Bible doctrine.
Amen.
That's Baptist doctrine. No, no, you got it wrong, fella. Read the book.
Amen.
It's Bible doctrine.
Amen.
Lifting up your hands and praising with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ is not Pentecostal.
Amen.
It's Bible.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Wouldn't hurt you to lift your hands there once in a while.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Turn, if you will, to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, you all just read every once in a while. You all just go back there and read the Psalm just every so often. When I first got saved, I preached almost always out of the New Testament or in the Bible stories of the Old Testament, and I left the Psalms almost alone. But the longer I lived and the more I walked with God and the more troubles I saw and the more disasters that came my way and I saw in people's lives, the more the Psalms began to mean to me. And today, if I'm looking for a blessing, one of the sweetest places I go is I take the Psalms and I start reading the Psalms of David. And I see this man praise God. I see him when he's hunted as an outlaw. I see him as he's chased down. I see him as he's lost his glory. I see him even broken by God because of his sin. And I see this man lift up his hands and his heart and his mouth and praise God. And I say, praise God, he can do it, I can do it.
Amen.
Amen.
If it's a blessing to David, it'll be a blessing to me.
Amen.
I'm not going to read all of 71, but you ought to. I got great big asterisks and marks all around Psalm 71 in my Bible. It's written out up there. You know what it says in verse 8? Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. That'd be a good occupation for your mouth.
Yeah.
You mouth, filthy, dirty. I'd be ashamed to eat with a mouth like you got, some of you. Dirty. Nasty mouth. Like you got roaches in it all the time or something.
poison the ass like got a snake's mouth. Man, you've got ugly mouth. He said, my mouth. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all day long. That'll stop your cussing.
Amen.
That'll stop your dirty jokes.
Amen.
That'll stop your filthy double meaning phrases. That'll stop a lot of things. If you just fill your mouth with praise and thanksgiving, it'll stop some of that garbage that you got coming out of it.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Kincaid.
Amen.
It's good preaching whether you like it anyway.
Amen.
Preach on heaven ain't going to do it. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Brother Brent said, a farmer is a continual optimist. Well, a Christian who learns to praise is a continual optimist.
Amen.
Knock him down, beat him down, stomp on him, put him in the ground, everybody count him out. He said, I will hope continually and praise thee more and more. Amen.
Amen.
Look at the next verse. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Praise God. That's your mouth. Look at verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My lips and my soul get in on praising. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Hey, my tongue gets in on the act. My lips get in on the act. My soul gets in on the act. My mouth gets in on the act. And what are we doing? We praise Him day after day, week after week, month after month, trial after trial. Praise comes out of our mouth. Turn to Acts, the 16th chapter and the 25th verse. Acts 16:25. Paul was one fantastic preacher of the gospel. I don't know how dynamic it was. I don't know what he acted like when he was before a crowd of people. But I do know this. I do know the man preached truth. I do know he was powerful enough that he left seed almost everywhere he went.
Amen.
And I know from the experience and the history of his life that the man knew how to praise God in the midst of difficult times. Here we find him. Paul's gone into, been praying about where to go. Lord, I see all the millions of Asia. I think I ought to go over to Asia. And God said, don't go to Asia. Well, Lord, I think I need to go over to Bithynia. And God said, don't go to Bithynia. He said, well, Lord, where do I go? And in the night, a man from Macedonia, Greece, came over and stood before him. He said, come over and help us. Paul said, I got it. Got the calling of God. Got the message of God. God told me to go to Macedonia. That's Greece, by the way.
Amen.
Alexander the Great's father was Philip of Macedonia. Macedonia. The Greeks said, we want the gospel.
Amen.
The Lord said, come on over and help us. By a man from Macedonia. Paul said, now we got the will of God in the world to go. I mean, we got God's blessing on this because we're in His will and we know where we're going. So they went over there to Macedonia. I imagine their spirits were up. Oh, they were feeling good. Boy, we're going to preach the gospel here. And they got over there to Philippi and they began preaching. And a bunch of policemen came down, drug them off, said, you can't preach that stuff here. We don't allow street preaching in Philippi. Didn't you bunch of Jews know that? And they strung them up and laid 39 lashes on their back with a whip. They took that whip and they cut their back 39 times. They took them down to the lowest dungeon where the rats and the roaches and the slime and the human excrement was there in the little cell where they were. No lights, no air conditioning, no pure air, no pure water, nothing. And they closed the cell door. Those little boys just laid down on the floor. I imagine they were passed out. No healing for their wounds. You know how you act when you sprain a toe? You know, you take off work 3 days just because you got a little stomachache, right? 39 lashes on their back, passed out in the muck and the mire in the bottom of that cell, and they wake up. Paul said, hey, Silas, you all right? I'm here. He said, you know, we're not dead yet. And Silas said, hey, you sure we're in the will of God? Yeah, we're in the will of God. I can imagine some of you saying, boy, Paul sure misread that one. Huh? Must have been out of the will of God. You couldn't have had the direct leading to God to have this much trouble when you're trying to do His will, right? No. Midnight, it says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Amen.
Two preachers of the gospel with their backs lashed and bleeding and sore at midnight say, oh God. And they prayed their prayer. And they begin to sing praises. Praise Him. Praise Him. Tell Him His excellent greatness. I can hear them, Jesus is wonderful. Christ is Lord. And the prisoner said, "What kind of men are those? What kind of men are those?" And look what happened. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed.
I want you to know, not just the prisoners heard them, God heard them.
Amen.
God looked down on two men. He said, "Go over to Macedonia." They said, "We're heading there." And they got over there and they began to preach. And as they began to preach, all sorts of bad things, worse than you've ever had happen to you.
Amen.
You ain't never had that happen to you.
Amen.
Worse than you've ever seen. Drops them down the jail cell. Devil did it. Devil said, "I want Paul and I want Silas." The angel that buffeted Paul everywhere he went, he did it. "I want him. Give him to me. Take him." And he beat him up and threw him down again. God said, "All right, boys, what you going to do?" "Oh, Lord, we're going to pray. And Lord, we're going to praise. And Lord, we're going to sing." What kind of men are these? They're Christians. They're blood bought. They belong to Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven. They're on the road to glory. They don't have any mansions here. They didn't have any money here. They had nothing going for them here. They were looking towards an eternity. And they could praise God in the midst of a jail cell with the roaches and the rats and the human excrement around them. And their backs bleeding and raw. And God said, "I heard that." And He shook that place.
Amen.
He just reached down with His little finger and thumped it. And the whole place, that castle, shook. And every jail door went open. And every chain fell off of every man. That old jailer said, "Oh, me, I'm dead." He's getting ready to kill himself. He said, "I don't be tortured tomorrow. I'd rather get it done right." And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Supposing the prisoners had fled, Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Lord, you start praising God in the right places. Somebody else said, "What must I do to be saved?"
Amen.
You start lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to say, "What must I do to be saved?" You start praising God when troubles come instead of complaining like the rest of the world. And somebody's going to say, "What must I do to be saved?"
Amen.
Look at his answer. He said, "Live by the golden rule and keep the commandments, join the church, be baptized, baptized, baptized." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
"Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I get what you got? How can I go where you're going? How can my sins be forgiven? How can I come to a place I can know and love and praise God?" He said, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That old boy believed. All the rest, his wife believed. His children believed. And he baptized them all in the jail. You know, there was a man from Macedonia that said, "Come over and help us." And that man was a jailer. They went on the streets, but the man wasn't there. They were preaching to him. He and his family lived in a dungeon. They whipped their backs raw and they dropped them in the cell. And most of you would have said, "Oh, I'm out of the will of God. Ain't nothing I can do here. What can I do here?" But these two men, they found time to pray. They found time to praise, and God found time to look in. And when God looked in and shook things, the Philippian church started. And one of the greatest little books you'll ever get the chance to read is Paul's letter to the Philippians.
Amen.
Here's the beginning of the Philippian church, my brothers. Here's where God said, "Here's one, I need to get saved. He doesn't have light. He lives in a dark place. He doesn't have anybody to testify to him. He sees the worst of society all the time. What are you going to do? I'm going to drop the best preachers I've got right in on him." The devil said, "I'm going to work those preachers over. I'm going to make them sorry they ever came here to preach. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to make them doubt they're in the will of God. I'll do my worst and I'll drop them down the jail cell." And God said, "Well, you're doing your worst. I'll do my best."
Amen.
God's in the business of taking the worst the devil can do and making it His best.
Amen.
Take a look at the cross of Calvary. the devil, all the imps out of hell, the Roman soldiers and the Jewish priests combined to stand against Jesus Christ and nail him to a cross and hang him between heaven and earth. They did their worst. And the devils of hell rejoiced.
The angels out of hell, those demons and devils, they rejoiced. The devil himself rejoiced. Got him. While they were doing their worst, the worst day of all history is the day Jesus Christ was crucified.
But the best day of all history is the day when Jesus Christ was crucified.
Amen.
God took the devil's very worst and made it his very best.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that when the devil works, God can turn it around. He can do it in your life too.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. It worked for me. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I was saved. And all of my houses. I'm thankful. Play something for us, Berlin.